All right, we are back in action. It's 11:06. We're doing a changing of the guards right here. I don't know if I embarrassed our next guest or if I pleased him, but when I shook his hand and met him, I said, "I love you."
Oh, you were very honest.
Was that okay? Is that a good?
The wrong person.
Oh.
The lovable Dom Herrera joins us live in studio. Dom, people do love you. You can't deny it.
I love them, too.
It's a mutual
Dana
love.
Dana Gould was just here.
Yeah.
If you can't see me, go see him.
You know what? It's like that scene from,
what is that?
What's the Christmas movie? Miracle on 34th Street, where Santa Claus says, if we don't have it here at Macy's, go to Gimbel's. You just did that.
Yeah,
that was so nice of you.
I think there's millions of people here. We can fill up a couple of comedy clubs.
Right.
Dana came to my house one time, the one and only time.
Yeah.
And I had one of those little, like, kind of speakeasy things that you look through.
Yeah.
And I opened it up, and a moth flew in his ear. Right? So... All he did was he was stomping, he was screaming and stomping, and the guy took him to the hospital, and that was the only time he was ever at my house.
Really?
So we're in Austin this spring, and he says something about the moth, and I'm thinking, what's he, crazy? I don't know what he's talking about. Then it hit me.
That's the time. Yep.
It's traumatic. They had to go to the hospital to get the moth taken out.
It was that bad.
It's like a Twilight Zone episode, or was that Night Gallery, the earwig thing?
Night Gallery had an earwig episode.
Ah.
Yep. Dom Herrera is performing in town at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. You got shows tonight. You got shows tomorrow night. You always said early on, someday I'm going to work Aurora, and now you're there.
Well, you know, one time I worked with Frankie Valli in Aurora.
Did you?
And that's why I wanted to come back, because he said, Dom Herrera in Aurora. Oh, that's a lot of R's. Frankie Valli.
He was right. He had a way of figuring things like that out,
he really
Frankie
did.
Valli.
He's a clever man.
How have you been? Everything good with
good,
you?
Good, yeah. It's funny that you say that. To me, at this point in my life, I'm sharing my gift, you know, what I give back to humanity. I've been given enough. I don't need any more.
Yeah, that's true.
Look, you're so me. Unselfish.
But that's what I love about me. And hold that thought. I want to tell you something else.
Yes, what else?
That really... I for the credits I have,
yes.
I am so down to earth.
Yes.
I don't
You've
know
not
why.
Let success spoil you.
I treat people like yourselves, for instance.
Yes.
Like you're equals. Yes. Let's face it.
We're not.
You were never on Seinfeld.
No.
No.
You were never on Barnyard.
No.
No.
Were you on Barnyard?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it was a Nickelodeon cartoon. As time passes, you know what my hottest credit is now?
What is it?
I tried it out in Cleveland to see how they would react. Hey Arnold.
Oh, I loved Hey Arnold.
Yeah, here you go.
Hey, Seinfeld is fine, but Hey Arnold, that's not bad at all.
I could live without Seinfeld, but not the football head.
I share a credit with you. Do you remember where you and I worked together? What TV show you and I did together?
Academy Awards?
No, we were never on the Academy Awards together. That's an excellent guess.
You were a presenter, were you?
No. No.
Give me a hint.
You and I did a pilot. For a late night show.
Jeff Martyr.
Yep, Martyr at Midnight.
Martyr at Midnight. Wow.
We run that together.
Where's that show?
Don't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
No.
Sorry,
they
guys.
They might still pick it up. We don't know.
He probably has one of those ham radios that could pick us up. No, but the guy, he never recovered from that.
Jeff didn't?
His kids want to be a stand-up, and I was taking him in and tutoring him.
But he didn't become a stand-up?
No, he's still trying. He's in college.
He?
But
yeah.
Jeff was a guy that really had everything going.
Oh,
it just shows
you
how hard this business is. And if I had taken one rejection, I would have been out of it a long ago. I got fired from a show that was written for me.
Did you?
Yeah. I tell you, after seeing you read, you're not right for the part. And another time, Rodney Dangerfield gave me a part in a movie, and the character's name was Irera. He pronounced it Irera, and I got they had a better actor replace me. Which I love. Like I couldn't. And the thing is, the guy he really was better than me, so I couldn't argue about it. I just did some other part.
Do you remember the story? They made a movie, a TV movie, about the life of Freddie Prinze, and Freddie's best friend was written into the movie, and then the guy who was actually the guy went in to read for the role of himself.
And didn't get it.
He did not.
Was
get
that
it.
Freddie Asparagus?
No.
Real name?
There was a comedian named Freddie Asparagus.
I don't think.
Cubby Broccoli.
I don't think his real name was Freddie.
Together.
I don't think his real name is.
I can't remember who the comedian was, but he read for the role of himself, and they just go, no, not even
really?
Close.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I remember when I got fired, and this is the cool thing about being a stand-up. When I got fired from that show, it hurt, you know? And
sure.
I went to the Comedy Store and did a set, and I felt, well.
Everything was okay.
And the very first time I did the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, killed, not to brag.
Mm-hmm.
And
no brag.
First, I don't brag.
No.
First time I did it. I was so upset that it was, it was like so hard to do.
Yeah.
I wanted to run into the hills of Burbank and start a new life.
Oh.
You know, but I mean, it went fine, but yeah. I just wanted to get it over with. And I went and did a set that night too.
Yeah.
We're talking about how medicinal that can be.
It is, isn't it? It really is. What was it like at the time to get the approval of Johnny Carson? There was probably nothing better on the planet, was there?
You know, it's funny. I was talking, you know, Joe Rogan?
Yeah, sure.
I was talking to him about, because he's doing Madison Square Garden, the small room, 8,000. Oh. Poor guy. He'll get there. But we were talking about it. Like, in those days, you know, you had to be lucky and seize that opportunity, because now with social media, mm-hmm. people can make themselves celebrities, mm-hmm. you know, by getting hit in the testicles with a wiffle ball bat.
Oh, I know.
But, you know, that kind of, I mean, when I did the Tonight Show, there was only a couple of vehicles. Dangerfield's HBO specials.
The Young Comedian Specials.
Young Comedian Specials. And the Tonight Show, and of course, Letterman later on.
Yeah. But,
it wasn't, I mean, now, my God, you know.
You were on one of the Young Comedian specials, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so for guys who don't remember this, that was a catapult.
It made us instant draws.
It did.
I went to Atlanta after it. I had no idea. I'm in my own usual foggy oblivion, and I go, why is this place so crowded? They go, you. Mm-hmm. I go, what do you mean? It was like a Tuesday night, because that's when we worked from Tuesday to Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even listen to me on that Tuesday to Wednesday.
The bosses at the comedy club.
The boys are here. Hey, he can work that much. But when I went there, and then they had, like, I had this joke about Joey Bag of Donuts, Little Petey, Big Pete.
Right.
And they had, like, there were a softball team with all those names in the back. I go, oh, my God. It just hit so, because everybody yeah. watched it. It was like the Soprano of that day. They would watch it and talk about it on Monday, you know, the old coffee thing.
Sure.
Whatever, you know.
Well, it's the first time America saw you. It's the first time they saw Jim Carrey. It's the first time they saw Stephen Wright.
Seinfeld
was
Roseanne.
On one. Yeah.
Sam Kennison.
Look at that lineup right
he
there.
You knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
I talk to you about I'm Dying Up Here? I absolutely love that Showtime show.
I would love to, but I got to go. Next time, hold the thought, will you?
Listen, I just want to know, you mentioned being on Carson.
I want to go back out in the lobby and wait another half hour.
I don't love you anymore.
Treated like dogs. No, go ahead, of course.
You talked about doing Johnny Carson. Is it all truly about the couch, like is portrayed in I'm Dying Up Here?
No.
It's not?
No, because the thing about the couch is, there was one guy who did so much overtime that he got the couch because they didn't want to screw the guest on after him at a time. So there were different reasons for it. Some of it had to do with timing, you know. So
could you hear Johnny, like when you were doing the joke, you could hear him laughing,
That was really incredible because, you know, a lot of things go through my mind when I'm doing it. And like, you're not always there every second.
Yeah.
And I start drifting. I go, that's Ed McMahon and Johnny Carson laughing at me. I hear them. They're only 15 feet away. And I used to do a joke about Ed, about, you know, this is before I had done The Tonight Show. I said, I did Star Search.
Yeah.
And I said, I called him, I said, I don't know what to say, 35 years in the business. Do I call him Ed, Mr. Ed, Eddie, Mr. Eddie McMahon, Mr. E, Mr. You big, fat, lucky, talentless hump, kissing Johnny's butt for the last 30 years, you Budweiser sucking, Alpo slinging nothing. What do you do?
Yeah, go with that one, by the way. That's the one to go with.
So I did that, and his daughter actually finally told me he loved the joke.
Really?
But the first time I met him was on The Tonight Show, and he was a big guy,
yeah.
And he pulled me towards him. But it was actually a warm thing, not aggressive. But I thought, oh, that McMahon's going to sucker me right before I go into Tonight Show. What a story that'll be. But it was cool.
What a night. I was fortunate enough on several occasions to have him in studio interview him. A nicer guy
impossible
to find.
Yeah,
right?
He appreciated his lot in life. You know, he used to be on commercials in Philly when I grew up. Him and Dick Clark and those guys, you know.
But didn't you think, Dom, that behind the scenes, he and Johnny probably palled around a little, and they didn't at all?
They didn't, did they?
No. No.
Yeah, that's weird. You know, I mean, I guess it's like a marriage. They get tired of each other every night.
Yeah, maybe.
The same thing.
But it's so sad because we thought, well, Doc and Johnny and Ed, after the show, they'd probably go and hang out somewhere. Never happened. No. Too bad.
I don't think Johnny was a big hanger. I think he liked to play tennis. And
yeah.
When he walked away, he really walked away. Now you could see Letterman getting itchy again. He's all of a sudden Moses Letterman,
right.
whatever his name is. And then he parted the Red Sea. No, it was the Dead Sea.
Don Morera is here.
Does he look hideous or what?
Well, it's not a good look.
It doesn't look like him.
Although very popular in baseball now to have all those unkempt beards.
Well, yeah, and it started a few years back, but it really, I mean, Zach Galifianakis was the first one of my generation guys that did it. And he kind of made it a signature thing. Now everybody does. I don't even know if he shaved. You know, he might have shaved it.
Martin Van Buren also. With, love the big long beard.
How do you know who my favorite president was? I thought you were going to say something about Calvin Coolidge.
No, he's all right. But that man, Martin Van
you
Buren.
You should have seen him start a line dance at a wedding.
Was he great? Come
beautiful.
On.
Beautiful.
Don Morera is here. Go see Don Morera. He's at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. You got shows tonight. You got shows tomorrow night. ComedyShrine.com has your ticket information. We'll pick this up in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy along with Don Morera on WGN. One of our favorite comics, Don Morera, live in studio. He's performing at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora tonight and tomorrow. For tickets, call 630-585-0300.
Why don't I just do some more material and they don't have to bother?
Do you want to do it right here? They don't have to travel.
They don't have to get out or go to play the drink minimum.
Such a hassle.
Let me do it. Can I
get it going?
Maybe,
yeah,
do maybe it. Do 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, you want to do that? That's fine. I'll give you the light at 13 so you'll know when it's time to stop. How many years have you been doing this now?
What's today?
Today is November 3rd, 2017.
45 years.
Have you been doing this
45
years?
I don't know. It's 1980. What's 1980?
Well, so you're looking at 37 years.
Holy.
I'm telling you, it's almost.
Holy Rabbi, holy Batman. You know, you think I'd have more material by now.
You don't need more material. Well, what has changed in the early days as to today in terms of the audience?
A lot has changed.
How is the audience different?
Well, first of all, the other night I walk in, it was Persians fighting cancer, right?
Yes.
I go into the lab. This is not funny.
No, it's not funny.
but my friend Maz Jobrani was the host.
Yeah.
And we were talking about like when I started out, stand-up comedy was basically mostly Jewish guys who were also writers.
Yeah.
And some black guys and maybe an occasional something else.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got like Russian peasant woman night.
Right.
I mean, there's everything. The major chain is the diversity.
I mean,
it's incredible. And you know what's funny? I was talking to another friend of mine, and we were saying about how people try and separate us. We get along.
Yeah.
We get along. There's no like black table, white table, Spanish table. We just sit wherever, you know, upstairs at the Laugh Factory, or we have our own bar at the Comedy Store. I mean, not that everybody's hugging each other all the time, but we really do, you know,
have
fun.
But when you came about, there was this surge of guys of different ethnicities. Like, I remember Johnny Yoon was the first Asian guy. Do you remember his opening word every day?
But
he would go, hero. Like, he would just come out and say, hero, and the crowd would go nuts. And then there was a Native American comic, and his opening line was, hi, how are ya? Hi, how are ya? Hi, how are ya?
Remember Glenn Hirsch?
Yes.
Glenn Hirsch, he was a Jewish guy. He was half Indian, half Italian. He would go, how you doing?
Right.
had he written another good line, he'd still be working.
That was the high point of his act.
It was. This guy's going to be good.
Nope.
Hey, that was it. No, he's a friend of mine, but he's doing cruises.
Is he? Yeah.
Talk about sailing adrift.
Yeah.
I think I'd hang myself before I did a cruise. I you know the Impractical Jokers?
Yeah,
I
sure.
love those guys.
Me too. Well, they're buddies of mine, and they asked me to go on the cruise a couple years ago. And I had fun when I worked with them. We're on stage. We're drinking Jameson. We're really having a ball. But, boy, I'm not one for the deep, dark ocean waters in the middle of the night. Because I keep thinking, well, what'll happen if I jump, you know?
Yeah.
Will they find me? Well, you know, just a normal guy.
You always think about the it's a remote possibility, but you think about what if Somali pirates decide that this cruise ship is their
especially next, if they got in the Caribbean.
Right. Right.
They got some good ships now.
Right. Yeah.
Or is it Caribbean? Excuse me.
That's all right. You're fine.
It's either or.
What have you not done yet that you've always wanted to do career-wise? Is there something you've always strived to do?
Well, there's a certain woman in here I always wanted to sleep with. But I never got the chance because she never gets sleepy. Oh, I waited out.
You are a romantic, Don Morera. You're very romantic.
What have I not done? Geez, not really anything.
You write a book? Have you ever written a book? Do you want to?
No, I was talking about that. I'm just too lazy. I shot to the middle and I clung there.
You're comfortable in the middle.
I'm very comfortable. I mean, I get, you know why? Because you have people saying, Yeah, you should be bigger. You should have this. I'd rather them not than, how'd you get this?
Yeah.
What are you doing up here?
I saw you one night on Craig Ferguson where had him, he was crying. He wasn't just laughing. You had him crying.
I loved working with him. He was the best talk show host I ever worked with because he was improvisational.
Yeah.
And one night I came out and he introduced me as working this weekend, going to be at the Denver Comedy Works. So I get on stage, I go, you got a really crack team here, Craig. I says, I worked there last week. I said, but I'm actually so hot in the business, they have to post-date my gigs.
Oh, really?
Because there'll be riots. And he goes, well, let's stop it. We'll just stop it and we'll start filming it over again. I said, I'm not stopping. I got a spot at the Laugh Factory in an hour.
Yeah.
This is just another gig for me. And and the audience could tell we were having fun, but like fake fighting.
Yeah.
I said, go over there in your high horse. I mean, it's not like 6'5 is a big enough. He's like Letterman. He has to have a seat that's higher than you. Makes you feel like a munchkin. You know, I was going to do a munchkin impression, and I decided against
it. No, better not to do it.
Yeah.
It's so funny how that became a thing on talk shows, that the host is elevated. And I don't know, did you ever see the one that Andy Kaufman did where he sat in like a lifeguard chair?
No,
he was so much funny. Than the audience.
He was so funny.
Carson didn't do that.
No, Carson was on the same level, wasn't he?
Letterman didn't. Letterman's probably 6'3 or 4 anyway. Oh, yeah. I needed that.
I don't know.
That's an interesting question about, I never think about, maybe having a hit series financially would have been the coolest thing, but I never really needed to be the star of anything.
No?
Yeah.
So in the days when they would come to Gabe Kaplan and they'd say, we'll build a show around your character, or Tim Allen, or Jerry Seinfeld, you must have, at some point, they must have said, let's sit down and iron it out. What will the show be if we center it around you? That probably happened once or twice,
well,
right?
Yeah, more than that, actually. But Bruce Willis was, to be a name dropper, he was like, he's been my friend for a long time, and he was the one that really pushed for me to have a series. But he wanted me to have a series, ironically enough, based on that character who you now see in I'm Dying Up Here.
Mm-hmm.
That, that
love
guy.
It.
Kind of a Catskills type comic.
Yeah, and yeah. I just didn't think that he could carry a series, but I was not going to say no to Bruce because he says, yeah, I'll do guest star things. We'll try and, you know. And this is so weird about the business. He was under contract to Fox Television and Fox Movies, and they didn't like their own writers.
Really?
Yeah. So they wanted to start all over again. And Bruce says, "What do you want to do?" And I says, "I don't know." You know, he goes, "Why don't we write it?" I go, "We can't write it." I said, "You're a movie star, and I'm a comedian. We're going to sit down and write." I mean, it was really stupid of me at the time, but that's one of the regrets I have.
That's
about
the regret.
Being lazy.
Yeah. Is he a good guy to be friends with, Bruce Willis?
He's a great guy.
Is he?
Yeah. And see, you know, then I hear stories about him, like Charles Barkley, of like my friends who have become famous. He became so much more famous than when I knew him in Philly.
Yeah.
But, like, I hear stories about them. I heard, you know, with Bruce being rude to people at casinos and stuff. I don't know what's true. I never seen that side of him.
Right.
You know, I mean, I hate to think that.
Yeah. He seems like a nice guy.
Everybody has a bad day, though.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they magnify it, too.
Tell him to straighten up, Dom, next time you see him. Tell
I will.
To straighten up.
Tell him to get it together.
Yeah, please.
Bruno better behave.
She has to. Dom Herrera performing at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. You got a couple shows tonight. You got a couple shows tomorrow night. If you want more information, 630-585-0300 or their website, comedyshrine.com.
And Dana Gould is also in town.
And Dana Gould's in town.
You might enjoy.
Spillover.
Better than me.
You are so funny.
Thank you so much,
Thanks
Dom.
Thanks a lot. Good
Great
to see you. Thank you.
A quick break, some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.